Mission, call 1-8-L-KIDS, sponsored by the Alabama Department of Human Resources, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. I got the... What's a good... Let's see. What am I say for Chase? I've got the maestro of the... Nah, that didn't rhyme. I've got the king of the keyboard. How about that? The wizard of the... Oh, well, we'll just go with king of the keyboard right now. I got Chase Brumfield alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. I'll come up with some more nicknames. I got, because see, it's got, if you start with the letter that you start with, then the follow-up's got to be the same letter. So king of the keyboard, wizard of the, I'm trying to think of something for the board, you know, magician of the... Whatever, we'll come up with some stuff. But he's here, ready to go as always. And I'm back in the studio this morning. Did the show remotely yesterday, but a good show yesterday. And kind of got the week started. It's Alabama-Georgia week, like I've said. Last week was kind of the calm before the storm. Now the storm is brewing. And on Saturday night, that storm is going to, it's going to be a tidal wave one way or the other. We hope it's a crimson tidal wave, that's for sure. But it's going to be a tough one over there in Athens, Georgia, between the 17th-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Doesn't that sound strange, Chase? 17th-ranked? It just didn't sound right. We got used to Nick Saban all those years, top-ranked, second-ranked, third-ranked, maybe fourth or fifth-ranked in a bad year. But 17th-ranked Alabama, number five, Georgia. And number five seems a little bit low for Georgia, to be honest with you, too. But we're full speed ahead today. Great show on tap. A lot of good content that we're going to have for you. Also, as I said, your phone calls and some great guests as well. But first, I need to tell you this hour, the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, I say it every day, it's just a better way of banking. I'd really encourage you to find out why it's such a better way of banking, and it's not hard to do. You can stop by and see them. They'll explain it to you at one of their 38 locations in Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Including the main office, the hub right here in Tuscaloosa, or you can go to alabamacu.com where they lay it all out for you. And they've got a very comprehensive website that will show you the advantages of your member-owned credit union over a traditional banking institution. So find out more at alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union Loans for Real Life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership and join today and feel good about your money. Ample extra change in your pocket. Or the lineup for today at 9:30, the Rocket Man, Drudy Arman, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville will join us to talk Bama, Georgia, Bama basketball, and more. And at 10:30, Lee Smith from Atlanta News First, Atlanta's only locally owned news television station, who, of course, covers Atlanta sports and the Georgia Bulldogs. And he's going to join us. He's an Alabama graduate, by the way, and used to work with me over at the TV station many years ago. I bet you Lee's been gone now probably 20 years, maybe? We'll ask him. But he's going to talk Georgia Bulldogs with us at 10:30. Also this morning, we got a lot of great audio. Did you get those clips yet? Yeah, we've got all the press conference yesterday clipped up, courtesy of the game with Ryan Fowler, who got them clipped up yesterday with Womack, Grubb, and DeBoer. Also, we've got Kirby Smart's press conference available if we have time to get to all that. So good show on tap. Some news and notes before we start taking phone calls. Obviously Alabama football, Alabama and Georgia, top of the food chain as far as what we're going to be talking about all week. But also major story in state yesterday in terms of basketball. Bruce Pearl announcing his retirement as Auburn starts practice, handing it over to his son, Stephen Pearl, with a 5-year contract at Auburn. Major news, a lot of speculation about Bruce Pearl running for the Senate, the United States Senate from Alabama, but he says that's not going to be the case. But I'm sure he's got a plan. He's a very smart guy. He is by far the most successful coach in Auburn men's basketball history. It's not even close. They had two SEC championships before he got there. He's been to two Final Fours. Did an unbelievable job. And, of course, the rivalry against Alabama. He finished as the head coach at Auburn with a losing record against Alabama. And he also finished with a losing record against Nate Oates, 5-7. I think that's noteworthy for Nate Oates. And that the final game between those two was the Mark Sears buzzer beater down at Auburn to end the regular season last year, and one that Alabama fans will remember forever. And so Nate Oates finishes with a winning record against Bruce Pearl, which, like I said, is noteworthy because Bruce Pearl is the most successful coach in Auburn men's basketball history. Now, Nate Oates has a chance to become the most successful coach in Alabama men's basketball history. All he needs now is longevity. Wimp Sanderson is still the winningest coach in Alabama men's history, and that shows you where Wimp was at after 12 years that nobody has. I think it's 241 wins for Wimp. Still nobody has gotten to that. I thought Mark Godfrey would do it. There have been others that have tried, but if Nate Oates stays here, he's going to get all of that. All he needs is more time because he's on a pace, you know, winning well over 20 games a year. A Final Four, an Elite Eight, couple of Sweet 16s, SEC championships. He's done well too. So it's a golden era for basketball in the state of Alabama. But Bruce Pearl, who I think is a very, very smart man, in addition to being a great coach, I think he's a very smart man. He planned this out perfectly, timed it out well where, you know, they've already started practice, so players aren't going to be able to jump in the portal, and hands it over to his son. So an exit plan was in place, and we'll see if Stephen Pearl can do it. I mean, I think he's a good coach, but he's never been a head coach at any level. Now, he's learned from his dad. He's been with his dad. He played for his dad. He's got a long history with success, but can he do it himself? We'll find out. But he's got a good roster, and, but that's a huge story, basketball. And also, as we talked about yesterday, still not official from the SEC, but Chris Lowe of On3 reported yesterday all the permanent opponents for the SEC teams as they go to a 9-game schedule next season. And Alabama's are going to be Auburn, Tennessee, and Mississippi State. As I said yesterday, Chase and I talked about it. We're happy to have Mississippi State back on the schedule. That's the longest rivalry for Alabama. These two schools, in terms of geography, are the closest schools in the SEC. There's only 84 miles that separate the two campuses, Alabama and Mississippi State. So I'm glad it worked out like that. All right, Corey and Trustful, you hold tight. We're off and running here on the Gary Harris Show. The Rocket Man, Drudy Armand, coming up at 9:30. Lee Smith from Atlanta News First coming up at 10:30. Plenty of audio, coach audio, and your phone calls. And as I said, Corey from Trustful is going to lead us off in the next segment. This is the Gary Harris Show for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. And by the way, Monday Night Football last night. Yeah, I just hit the desk. I'm so mad. The way that Todd Monken is using Derrick Henry, I mean, it's got me, man. I'm ticked off. Now, listen, he didn't cause Derrick Henry to fumble again for the third time in three games. Lost two of them. This game really mirrored what happened in the Buffalo game. Late fumble deep in Baltimore territory. But let me tell you something. The Detroit Lions, they beat the, you know what? They curb stomped the Ravens last night. Make no mistake, it was 38-30. It wasn't that close. And Jim Harbaugh got out coached by Dan Campbell, and Derrick Henry got 12 carries for 50 yards. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he fumbled, but how is he ever going to get any rhythm when you don't give him the ball? You know, I don't get upset about much on this radio show. I don't get worked up, but I'm pretty worked up about that. He's Derrick Henry, dude. He gets better with the more carries that he gets. He gets in a rhythm. You can't, 12 carries and three of them came in that botched goal line situation. He still finished for 50 yards and a touchdown, had a 20-yard touchdown. But if the Ravens don't get something going, they may be the most overrated team in the league. And Lamar Jackson last night, he played awful. I don't care what he did in the first half with only one incompletion in the second half, and it wasn't all his fault, but he did not play well. Anyway, Derrick Henry is my guy. Not that he cares that he's my guy, but he is my guy as far as the NFL is concerned. And even though the Lions have a lot of Bama players, and Jahmyr Gibbs had two touchdowns, and Brian Branch played well, I was pulling for the Ravens, and they're 1-2. 1-2. Wow, they're doing some head scratching. All right, let's get to the break. I'll come back, take Corey from Trustful, and more of your phone calls as well at 205-342-9904. This is the Gary Harris Show on Time, 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Tuesday morning. In sports, Auburn is getting a new coach. His name is Pearl. the son of the current coach, Bruce Pearl, who announced yesterday that he's stepping down just 42 days before the new season. Pearl's son, Stephen, has been named the new head basketball coach down on the Plains. Many observers believe Pearl is resigning to run for the soon-to-be open seat of U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's decided to run for governor. But Pearl discounted that yesterday. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
To go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
A Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:19 on the Gary Harris Show. Actually, just turned to 9:20. Some history last night for the Detroit Lions. Their trio of Jahmyr Gibbs, former Bama running back, David Montgomery, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver, recorded their 10th career game where all three scored at least one scrimmage touchdown. This is the most games that has occurred by any trio of teammates in NFL history. 10 games where all three of them scored at least one scrimmage touchdown in the game. That's impressive, to say the least. And an impressive win last night for the Lions. They look great. All right, we got Corey and Trustful. Then we'll get to Bryce here on the Storage Center Hotline. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing great, buddy.
Well, I'm disappointed in Derrick Henry, even though it's not completely his fault, but I think he's having trouble holding on to the ball because, I mean, I know he's not getting in a rhythm, but as a running back, your job is to hold on.
Yeah, let me say this, Corey, for context, though, for people that didn't see it. And again, you're right. And listen, he took the blame again last night. He didn't. I mean, he's frustrated. But Hutchinson got blocked out of the play. And so when Derek bounced it outside, then cut back up, he did come from behind him. Derek never saw him. He had the ball high and tight. He did. He had it high and tight. Give them credit. Hutchinson then from the backside, Derek never saw him, and he punched it out. There's no doubt about it. And I'm with everything you said about Derrick Henry to fix it. But at the same time, you got to help him as his offensive coordinator. I mean, this guy's a stud. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. And you're not letting him get the ball, man. It's just anyway. But it's on him. You're right, Corey. It's on him, and it's frustrating.
Oh, and they had the ball at the 1 yard line. I don't know how they didn't score. You run twice.
Yeah, I thought, I do like running Derek down there. I mean, I think that's his job. I thought on the last run, I thought he was going to be able to punch it in, and he wasn't. And, they stopped him, and then that botched play on fourth down, which was horrible with Lamar trying to throw. But, the Lions just whipped him. You know, the game against Buffalo that the Ravens lost, they gave that game away. They should have won that game. They outplayed Buffalo. In this game, they got whipped. And it's disappointing if you're a Ravens fan, because now you're looking at that defense and you're saying, my gosh, man, they're not stopping anybody. Offensively, they're inconsistent. And now you're 1-2 and you're going to Kansas City next Sunday. You could be staring at 1-3.
Gave up 225 yards rushing.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is a sieve. I mean, what I mean by that is they're not stopping anybody. I mean, they are. It's a team right now that, you know, people are talking about the Super Bowl. Heck, man, they don't start playing better, they're not gonna make the playoffs.
I'm shocked. I mean, people think it's an all-world roster. It's really not. I mean, if you stop Derrick Henry and you make Lamar look erratic, you can expose them pretty quickly.
I'm with you. I think the roster's a little overrated, too. I'm not saying they don't have good players, but I'm not sure it's, like you said, it's all-world. And defensively, yeah, the problems on offense right now are noteworthy, but defensively, man, they're just not very good. I mean, like you said, they couldn't stop the run last night. David Montgomery had best game he's had in a couple of years. They give up way too many plays in the passing game, and I love Marlon Humphrey, and he's a Bama guy, and he helped produce that great documentary that we've been talking about, Nothing But a Winner. But man, people are targeting him. They're finding Marlon Humphrey. And he's not making the plays. I mean, he got beat on that touchdown last night. He got beat on that fourth down play, that fourth and two. And defensively up front, they're getting blocked. So issues, man, issues. They gotta clean them up.
You still debating this Alabama Georgia game?
I'll make my pick tonight on Tider Insider TV, 6:30 on WVUA 23. Okay. All will be known.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just hope Alabama can get out to a fast start, because the last thing Alabama needs to do is fall behind early and often.
You bet, man. You need to get off to a good start on the road. But if you don't, you got to keep playing. I mean, Georgia got off to this miserable start last year in Tuscaloosa as you could get off to. But they kept playing. You looked up in the fourth quarter, they had the lead. So you just got to keep playing. Hey, great call, Corey. I got a couple more phone calls to get to. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Good to talk to you here. Roll Tide.
Thank you. Let's get to Bryce, and then we'll squeeze in Larry before we hit the break. Hey, Bryce.
Well, basketball's in better shape without Bruce Pearl. I never liked him. Not going to like him. If he voted for office, you can't worry about me voting for him. Yeah, if he runs for office, because, and I hate to say this, and the writing's on the wall, he's cheated everywhere he's been. You know, I never liked him when I first seen him when he was playing, was it Milwaukee, Green Bay, or something like that? University, Green Bay, Wisconsin?
It's Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the first time I seen him, and I didn't like him then. I don't like him now. And I think that he didn't want his legacy tore down. That's just my personal opinion. But Nate Oates, that's the reason why I bowed out. And other people are going to see it different, but that's the way I see it. You know, I don't know his son, you know, but I hope he's better.
All right, Bryce. You don't ever sugarcoat it, pal. I'll give it to you for that. You shoot straight, buddy.
Well, hey, about the ball game, are we physical enough to line up? If we get busted in the mouth and bust back, that's where I'm at with the ball game.
Well, we're going to find out, and I'm with you. And I think this game's going to be one up front, and we'll see if Alabama's got the horses to do it. We'll find out in just a few days.
You letting me talk.
Always, Bryce. Good to hear. Hey, you got a right to your opinion, man. That's what, you know, we don't censor anybody on this show. I mean, listen, your opinion's as important as everybody else. You don't like Bruce Pearl. That's your prerogative. I kind of like him. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I've kind of admired watching him coach. But I know what you're saying. Everybody's got different opinions. Hey, thank you, buddy.
I appreciate you.
Bye-bye. All right, Bryce. All right, let's keep it going, and we'll get to Larry the Music Man. Hey, Larry.
Gary, good morning, and I know Bryce loves me, but let me tell you, brother, I had a music weekend. I'm lining guests up for October. It's going to be good. Went down to Live Oak and sat in with a little lady that used to back us up. That was my stomping grounds at Swanee Music Park, and I'll talk about that later. I'm waiting on a call from her. I hope we're all singing come Monday morning by Jimmy Buffett. Everything's going to be all right, I hope. But tomorrow's show, we're down to the soul sisters now. We've done everybody. We did the guys. So I want four R&B soul singers of the 70s, and I want one song to match each pick. Your favorite song, but it's got to be in the 70s. Don't jump back in the 60s or go forward. You got to stay in the 70s. And then we're going to start easing away a little bit. I've got a lot of stuff. We're going to cover some groups we've missed, and we're going to start peeking at the 60s. Maybe in November. That's all right with you.
Yeah.
I've got a list of groups we hadn't got to. It's just some honorable mentions, some that had hits, but really, you know, didn't move on. And they made a big impact, but we need to call them out. So, I'm excited, and I'll give you my pick later in the week, probably Free For All Friday.
All right, brother. Well, we'll look forward to tomorrow.
But y'all talk to me tomorrow now, and I want it. Call them out and get the song with it. It's four.
Female R&B and soul singers from the 70s.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
See you, Gary.
All right, 928 and 929, actually. We're going to take a time out and come back with the Rocket Man, Drudy Arman, talking Bama, Georgia, and more next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session. Saturday, as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for
another language. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
All right, 9:34. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Rocket Man, Drudy Arman, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. Also a Tider Insider contributor and joins us every Tuesday. How's it going, Drew?
Good, Gary. How are you?
Doing well, man. Listen, it's here. I thought the bye week last week was kind of perfect, to be honest with you. I know we were only three games in, but with this game coming up Saturday, both these teams able to take a week off and then, you know, prepare full speed. And now Saturday night, we're going to line it up between the hedges and we're going to find out a lot about these two football teams, Drew, both Alabama and Georgia on Saturday night.
Well, I think Georgia's answered more questions than Alabama. They certainly beat a really good Tennessee team on the road. Even though they got outplayed for the majority of the contest, they showed a lot of physical and mental toughness. And, you know, Gunnar Stockton, I think, showed a lot of growth as his first year as QB1 in Athens. And, you know, they found a way to get it done. Reminded me a lot of Nick Saban's teams. You can't leave any door open or they're going to kick it down. And certainly Georgia did do that, I think, with Zachariah Branch. They've got a true wide receiver one this year. Not really sure they had one a year ago. You know, I think offensive line-wise, they're still a little banged up. But I thought they showed a better propensity to be able to run the football. Nate Frazier was certainly key in the game, especially in the overtime, setting up the winning score. They got the transfer from Illinois as well that gives them some thump and physicality. And then Gunner also brings an element to run the football, even though, I mean, Beck could scramble if he needed to, but he was really a pocket guy. And so certainly it's going to be a big challenge for Alabama. Georgia and Mike Bobo, Kirby Smart, they're not going to reinvent the wheel, especially offensively. They're going to try to punch you in the face and then make big plays. And Alabama is going to have to hold up at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have to do a good job of trying to limit the running game. They're not going to completely shut it down, but they need to make Georgia earn it. And then they've got to find a way to force some turnovers. They've got to get a turnover or two. And then offensively, Alabama's got to protect the ball. They've got to win the turnover battle. And turnovers are even drop passes and fumbles. Even if you recover them, if they set you behind the chain. So negative plays, fumbles, drop balls, those are just as big as turnovers. And Alabama has to make sure, as far as those kind of mistakes, they keep those to a minimum if they want to have a chance to win in Athens, Georgia, where Kirby's won 33 in a row.
Yeah, let's get to Kirby against Alabama. We know he's 1-6. Most of those games were either in the SEC championship game or the national championship game. 0-2 in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. But this will be his first time to coach Georgia in Athens against Alabama. Now, we know that Nick Saban took two teams into Athens in 2008 and 2015 against Mark Richt and blew out the dogs in both of those. But it is a different setting for Kirby Smart and Georgia against Alabama. How big do you think the home field advantage will be for the Dogs on Saturday night?
Well, I mean, it could be gargantuan. They haven't played Alabama since Kirby's last year in Tuscaloosa, when it was 2015, and a lot of people were favoring Georgia, who came in undefeated. And then I don't think this Georgia team will be as stupid as that last one. And, of course, that team was facing Alabama after they came off of a disastrous loss against Ole Miss, where they basically gave the game away with five turnovers. But then they proceeded to dance at midfield and taunt Alabama in the rain, which was really, really a big mistake. And I don't think you should have done that. And that's when I knew right before the game that Alabama was fixing to wreck Georgia, because you just don't tug on Superman's cape. But I don't think that Kirby's team is going to do that. I think they're going to come in and they're going to want to challenge Alabama physically. And, I mean, I've even heard it may be another blackout, which I wouldn't even have done that. But maybe Kirby's that confident in his football team that they can overcome that stigma and make the blackout a thing. I mean, but I don't think that they will. I think they'll do the talking with their pads. Certainly it'll be an emotional game, but I would expect Kirby's guys to be ready. I think they understand the challenge of Alabama and how talented Alabama's roster is. Obviously, that Florida State loss each passing week has looked better and better. It looks like, barring the unforeseen, if the Noles can take care of Virginia and Charlottesville, we're going to see the Canes and the Noles playing an old school top 10 matchup undefeated in a couple of weeks in Tallahassee, which who would have thunk that just a few weeks ago? But that's how unpredictable college football can be at this time. I like the way Alabama's responded, and I think it's going to be interesting with Jam Miller returning. I think John Marion Latham very likely, also Tim Keenan. How much juice will that give Alabama? Will it make Alabama tougher against the run? You certainly hope so. And you hope Jam Miller can give some juice to the running game. Now, I will say that I expect Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer to be a little creative. I wouldn't be surprised if they use Jeremy Bernard in the running game, maybe even Ryan Williams, end arounds, things of that nature, maybe a reverse. Use Ty Simpson as a runner. I think he has really good mobility. And then, of course, Jam Miller. In other words, there's different ways to generate rushing yards, and certainly they need to be able to create some balance against Georgia, because I think Georgia, first and foremost, is going to try to take the run away. Because, again, Alabama has struggled to run the ball at times. Now, Ty Simpson's responded, but when they couldn't run the ball against Florida State, the only other high-quality opponent of this nature, Alabama really struggled. So That will be the first and foremost, which team can run the ball the best. And then if Alabama can protect Ty, I think we've seen Georgia is susceptible to the passing game. And quite frankly, no disrespect to Tennessee, who I think is really good, I think Alabama has a better wide receiver core. And so I think Alabama, there'll be plays to be made. I'm going to be interested to see. You know, people have talked about Georgia holding some things back. Well, what has Alabama done? You know, to me, I would think that they probably have held some things back, and, you know, they're probably going to have some stuff that Georgia hasn't seen. I think they did that last year, and it hurt Kirby and those guys. So, you know, we'll see. But I just think overall, when you look at it, I think it's going to be a very, very, entertaining game. It's fascinating, some of the matchups, but I think it's still going to come down to the old school stuff. Alabama has to protect the ball. They've got to minimize mistakes. And then penalty-wise, I'm not expecting them to go in there and only have one or two penalties. I hope that's the case. But you hope they keep the penalties to a minimum. And certainly I don't think Georgia will be penalty-free either. I think it'll be an emotional game. But you gotta keep the penalties to a minimum. And then if you're Alabama, I think you also have to out-big play Georgia. And Georgia, they're going to make some explosive plays, but you got to keep those to a minimum, maybe one, hopefully. And if you're Alabama, whether it's Jeremy or Ryan Williams or Jam, whoever, you've got to make big plays when they're there, because I think that cost Auburn at Oklahoma. You can't – if a Cam Coleman's wide open, and for Alabama that would be the equivalent of a Jeremy Bernard or a Ryan Williams, you can't miss the throw or you can't drop the football, because in this game, Gary, against an opponent of this caliber, you already mentioned it in the start, it's never over. We saw it last year. It was 30-7 at halftime, and Kirby's team kept swinging. Well, Alabama, they're going to keep swinging, Georgia is. You've got to come out. You've got to be aggressive. Can't take the foot off the gas. But then when plays are there to be made, you got to make them.
Getting Jam Miller back on offense and Tim Keenan back on defense and Jamarian Latham maybe back as well on defense, how does that make a difference? I mean, obviously those guys in Keenan and Miller are starters for a reason. They're leaders on your team. How big a difference do you think that will make for Alabama? Because I'm hearing that neither one will be limited as far as snaps. I mean, they'll be full speed ahead. Do you think that'll impact the game?
It could. Hopefully the defensive line understands that they've got to be ready to go and they got to be ready to swap paint. And, you know, hopefully the biggest thing that came out of the Florida State debacle and disaster was, you know, mindset. I think Alabama's taken the right mindset in routing Louisiana Monroe and then in smacking Wisconsin, but neither one of those teams compares to Georgia. You've got to be ready to go, and you've got to be ready to control your gap. You know, you've got to be ready to win your one-on-one matchup the majority of the time. And then that's with Tim Keenan back, in the front seven and on the defensive line. But then with Jam Miller, it'll be interesting to see how many carries he gets, but you just got to, do a great job, protect the ball, do not fumble, and then do your job without the ball. Blocking, and I thought the running backs did that exceptionally well in the passing game. And then, I think Jam can be a factor as a receiver too. Remember, he was the last two times they played in the SEC championship game, and then as a receiver last year, he had a touchdown catch in Tuscaloosa. So he can be a big factor as a runner, receiver, and blocker. And I'll be interested to see if they play him and Kevin Riley at the same time, because right now, I think Riley has earned that chance to be the number two back. And we've seen Riley be very effective as a receiver. So I'm going to be interested to see kind of how they attack Georgia, because I think Georgia's still really good defensively, but I don't think this front is as good as maybe some of his Kirby's has been in the past. So I'm going to be interested to see the chess match. Is Kirby going to blitz quite a bit, or is he going to depend on winning one-on-one matchups? Because so far, I don't know if they have those kind of pass rushers with UGA that he's had in the past. So I still say if Alabama's going to win, it's going to need to be a 31-28, 34-31 type game. And if Kirby wants, he'd rather win a 27-17 type game, in my opinion. I don't think he wants the game to get up and down and score a bunch, but I do think he's confident enough in his offense and the talents that they have that they can do that. But, you know, I'm just not – and the reason I say 31-28, 34-31, something like that, is I just don't know if Alabama defensively how much they can contain Georgia. I think they can turn them over, which is what they need to do. But I think Georgia's going to move the football because that's just they're talented enough. And I don't know if this Alabama defense is dominant. I don't think they are. I think they've been much improved the last two games. But when we saw them against Florida State, they got pushed around some. So until they show me that they're going to show up in a big game and make consistent stops, you got to think that Alabama's going to have to make this a more high-scoring affair to win in Athens.
That's good analysis, Drew. Obviously, you're going to have a winner and you're going to have a loser. And if Alabama wins, then obviously a ton of momentum coming home to play Vanderbilt. But you got to come home to play Vanderbilt either way. If you lose this game, and, you know, we're just talking hypotheticals, but you'll be 2-2 overall, 0-1 in the SEC, 8 games remaining. It's not out of the realm of possibility to make the playoff, but, boy, you're going to be running uphill. I mean, when you look at that schedule and who's left on it, clearly, obviously, you'd rather win the game. But, I mean, from a just realistic standpoint, if Alabama loses, do you still think they have a chance to make the playoff? I mean, I know they have a chance, but do you think they'll make the playoff if they don't win this game? Do they need to win this game to make the playoff?
I don't think so. I think the schedule would be too difficult going forward. You got some really tricky road trips, including one to Missouri after Vanderbilt, which isn't going to be easy. Mizzou's played good football, and certainly, and then there'll be kind of a stigma on Alabama. If they can't win this game at Georgia, people will start wondering. I know they won at LSU and in Wisconsin last year, but the end of last season and then this year so far, they would have been, you know, not good on the road. So that doesn't give you all a ton of confidence. So, because you've got some difficult places to play. We know Auburn's going to be a hornet's nest at the end of the year. No question about it. That's not going to be an easy game. You know, this entire SEC schedule, South Carolina, I know they've underachieved a little bit, but that's another tricky road game. This would be the shot of confidence that Alabama needs. And quite frankly, this win at UGA would be bigger than the Georgia win last year. And that Georgia win was huge for Kalen DeBoer. But this would completely eradicate the Florida State game if Alabama could go over there and win. And I think Ty Simpson, you know, he has to be the better quarterback on Saturday. He has to outplay Gunnar Stockton. I think he's very capable of doing that. What I want to see from Alabama is what we saw under Nick Saban. I want to see swagger coming in on the road, and I want to see them coming out. I want to see Alabama throw the first punch. Matter of fact, if they win the damn, the coin toss, take the ball and shove it down their ass. Okay? That's what they need to do. They need to come out, they need to attack Georgia, and they need to put doubt in their mind. Because I do think Alabama is in Georgia's head a little bit. And if Alabama comes out and starts fast, I think it's very important because we've seen this with Kalen DeBoer's team. If they start fast, it's generally a really good sign. Now, there's going to be adversity in this game, and they have to respond. And they did last year. But the biggest thing, I think, is come out, be Alabama, come out swinging, and letting Georgia know we are here for 15 rounds. We are going nowhere. You beat us one time in the last 10. Bring it on. We don't care where this game's played. We don't care where we play you. We're here to whip your ass. That's what they need to do.
Woo! Drew, bringing it as always. Drew, before we close out the segment, let me ask you about basketball. First, Alabama with practice starting up. We got the news last week of Jahlil Bethia, the Miami transfer wing, who it sounded like when Coach Oates put that release out with surgery that it was going to be, not that it is a good thing to have surgery, but now we're seeing reports from Basketball Insiders that Bethia could be back as early as late November. It looks like a pinky toe, a broken pinky toe. So bad news that he gets hurt, but good news that he's going to be back, it looks like, before December.
Yeah, my first thought was he might not be back till January, or or a Chris Youngblood kind of situation where he wasn't back till mid-December, but it looks like that he will be back maybe sooner than that. But I also think it could be a blessing in disguise. Certainly you can get Bethea back and get him in the mix, but I think that certainly they have backcourt depth. They have Latrell Wrightsell, who's a veteran. You've got LeBaron Fyline. You've got Houston Millett. I had Millett in the starting lineup anyway. Just a dead-eye shooter, a hard worker, a guy that's a leader. And of course, it'll give Davion Hanna more of a chance to get in there too. But, they still got an Aiden Holloway. They've got really good guard play, and that's probably the deepest position on the team. So it stinks not to have Bethea right away, but it gives some other guys a chance, and even guys with position versatility like an Amari Allen, and then London Jimison as well. So it's going to give some guys chances to play. It's never great to get a guy hurt, but, you know, Alabama has had an injury pretty much every year under Nate Oates, but you need to recruit a deeper roster. He's done that over the last 4 to 5 years, and it's one where they had to adjust without Wrightsell when he got hurt and tore his Achilles last year. That was a huge loss, but Alabama recovered and still went to the Elite Eight because I think they had recruited and developed their roster well enough. And so that's going to be key for Alabama. And I'm going to say this just real quick about Bruce Pearl. He's retired from basketball.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to say, I said this on my show and I'm going to say it on yours. The best thing that ever happened to this state in basketball is Auburn hiring Bruce Pearl. And the reason I say that is, it was the most significant, is I have utmost respect for Sonny Smith, Wimp Sanderson, CM Newton. Those people meant a lot to our state. Cliff Ellis had some good years at Auburn. But Bruce Pearl elevated Auburn basketball, and it made Alabama have to do the same. They had to reignite their basketball program. They did that with Nate Oates. And now you hear Alabama and Auburn basketball, as far as the rivalry, mentioned on the same level of play as a Duke Carolina, and nobody in their right mind, and myself included, as much as I love the game, would have ever thought that would ever happen in this state. So, you know, I give my respect to Bruce Pearl, congratulate him on his retirement. I think his son Steven's a good dude. I hope the rivalry continues to be great because they push each other, and I think it's never been a better time to be an Alabama basketball fan because Nate Oates is in Tuscaloosa. They're recruiting lights out. And I think that never would have happened if you don't have Bruce Pearl on the other side of the state.
Well stated, Drew. Excellent analysis as always. We appreciate it. And I know people are listening to the show and always interested in your segment. So give them a little info on where they can get more from Drew DeArmon.
Well, they can certainly, they can connect with me at Drew D 977 ESPN, on my X account, our station at 977 ESPN, our SoundCloud account at 97.7 The Zone. If you missed Talking Ball with myself and Scott Tyson, and then of course we have 977 ESPN.com. And looking forward to this Georgia game. I've got the Dogs about a 5-point favorite, but like I said, I think Alabama's got more than a puncher's chance in this game, and this is going to be a huge opportunity for this coaching staff at Alabama to start leaving their mark when you talk about Kalen DeBoer and Brian Grubb and Kane Woman.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, 9:54, and we're going to come back and wrap it up right after this. I do want to mention to you, we'll be back at Innisfree on Friday. Friday's at the Free, 9 to 11, Innisfree Irish Pub, University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa, and we will have our Bama football trivia giveaway, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit. Go by and see Tom and get hooked up in a good-looking suit for just $99. And, of course, the T-Town Menswear T-Town Gallery Bama Football Trivia Giveaway on Friday. We're back to wrap up hour number one right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're doing a Southern Ohio score prediction day
for Alabama and Georgia, and a large prize package because it's a big game. We'll talk to Chris Lowe. We'll also talk to Mike Dettelier, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on a score prediction day on a Tuesday in Tuskaloosa on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build your own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours events.
Paver patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and a
house.
Oh my God.
With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92. Tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times. A good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two, I see we got a phone call ready to go. We'll start it off with a phone call. Also, Lee Smith from Atlanta News First at 10:30 talking Alabama, Georgia. And we're going to get to some of that audio courtesy of Ryan Fowler in the game. Clipped up audio of the two coordinators and Kalen DeBoer from yesterday's press conferences here in Alabama. So we will have that for you coming up in hour number two, the Gary Harris Show. It's on the way right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers took the late ball game 6-3 over San Francisco. No decision for Clayton Kershaw. He pitched 4 1/3 innings, 6 strikeouts, 4 walks. That could be his last start in L.A. He's retiring after this year. The Dodgers officially clinched a playoff spot as Arizona lost at home 8-2 to Philadelphia. San Diego was beaten 4-3 at the White Sox. The Mets downed Washington 12-6, while Cincinnati beat the Cubs 7-4. Losses for Toronto and the Yankees, but Boston was a winner at Tampa Bay 11-7. Detroit has lost 7 of 8, their lead in the AL Central down to 2.5 games over the Guardians. Detroit was beaten at home 10-1 by Atlanta. Cleveland won its 8th game in a row, 6-2 at Minnesota. And Seattle's alone in first in the AL West after winning at Houston 4-0. College football wins for Iowa and Tulsa. WNBA playoffs, Phoenix eliminated New York.
It's time to win some cash on WTBC and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Here is this hour's cash code.
The code.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and
on the Tide 100.9 app.
Here we go, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. We're about to grab a phone call in just a moment. First, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. North Patterson not be able to be with us today for the Patterson Law Firm segment like we have on some Tuesdays, but hopefully he'll be back next week. But Patterson Law Firm is right here in Tuscaloosa. And remember, no recovery, no fee. Free consultation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you call Patterson Law Firm at 205-345-1000, you won't get a call center. You'll talk to a real attorney right here in West Alabama. Paul and North Patterson, born here, raising their families here. I think that's important. If you've been hurt in an automobile accident, 18-wheel accident, any type of catastrophic injury, or just any type of legal advice, they can help you with it at Patterson Law Firm. They sit down with you, they'll advise you, and if they take your case, again, never a penny out of pocket unless they collect for you. Local and trusted. That's the difference. Patterson Law Firm.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline and just talk to Philip. Hey, Philip, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, Mr. Gary. I tell you, I gotta agree with Drew. I hope if Alabama has a chance to take the ball first, they take it and don't worry about the strategy and just go for it. I kind of agree with him on that. And I think they got to set the tone, and I don't know of a better way to do that. And I was going to ask you, I know this game is huge to us and all the Bama Nation and the Georgia Nation, but I'm going to tell you what, that Mississippi State hosting Tennessee game, well, that's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, it is. Listen, there are a lot of big games this weekend, man. I mean, and this the SEC is loaded this weekend after what I would call a little bit of an off weekend last weekend with only two conference games. But that Tennessee-Mississippi State game is interesting. And there's no doubt about it, Philip. Now, I'll be honest with you. SEC games for Mississippi State, that's going to be the test. And I know people are caught up right now on the fact that they're 4-0 and they beat Arizona State. And I'm not saying they're not a better football team. But we've seen this before out of Mississippi State. Everybody gets a little bit hyped. Not necessarily 4-0 hype, but we know what Dan Mullen was able to do, getting them to number one. I just have a suspicion that Tennessee is going to go in there and roll them, Philip. I just think they're better, but I still think they're ready to play the upper echelon of the SEC. And I could be wrong. And I hadn't made my point spread picks yet. And they're getting 7.5 at home. But that's my when you mention that game, my first instinct is to say, I think Tennessee's got something for them. But obviously you disagree.
Well, I kind of agree that we've seen this movie before with Mississippi State and them getting off to a good start, and then they'd placed. I remember a few years ago, I think they hosted Texas before Texas was in the league, and Texas went in there and stomped them. I believe I'm right, but you know, we have seen that movie before with Mississippi State, but I just feel like early on, I think it could be a rocky environment for pardon the pun for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a stiff test early on, and if Tennessee is shaky, you know, and Mississippi State can hang around and hang around and hang around, I think anything can happen.
Well, maybe they'll get to Aguilar. You know, Mississippi. Listen, as I've said before, I worked in that state, and of course, you got Ole Miss and LSU this weekend too. But I worked in the state of Mississippi for several years. Like seven, in fact, in the TV business. I covered Mississippi State. I covered Ole Miss. I covered Southern Mississippi. So I've got a warm spot for that state. I love that Alabama and Mississippi State are going to be back on the schedule beginning next year. I think that's awesome. And, you know, Mississippi State, my experience there is they have some of the best fans in the world. I mean, they are loyal to that team. And let's be honest, if you're a Mississippi State football fan, you've had some moments. There's no doubt about it. But for the most part, you have been a second-tier SEC program. And their fans are loyal to them. And they love that school and they love that team. It's a great atmosphere. Have you ever been to a game there, Philip?
I never have, believe it or not. I never have been to a game, it's an easy trip.
Yeah, you need to go. And the next time Alabama plays there, you need to go. Yeah. But it's and you're right. And their fans are going to bring it. And it's going to be a great atmosphere. And it's a beautiful place to watch a game. I love that. It's not a little stadium anymore, but I love that stadium. And I think they'll be ready to go. I just don't think they can stand up against Tennessee for four quarters. But we'll see. We'll find out. Listen, I'm happy for them. The fact that they've, after the season they had last year, man, to start out 4-0 and have a quality win over Arizona State. And also, listen, Northern Illinois. We know, Northern Illinois has beaten Alabama. They've beaten Notre Dame. And Mississippi State, that was a test. Not that they would win the game, but, that was a close game at halftime. I think it was 14-10, and they wound up winning that game 38-10. So they're much better.
They sure are. And the Carolina Panthers, 30-0 over the Falcons.
Yeah, we'll talk to Orlando about it on Thursday. D. Orlando Ledbetter. I was happy for the Panthers because you get to 0-3 and it's good. And listen, I still think Bryce can play really well at quarterback in this league. But the Falcons, though, that's more about the Falcons. You come off a big road win at Minnesota, and then you go into Carolina and just get curb stomped. I mean, they fired their receivers coach, Ike Hilliard, yesterday. The Falcons did. I'm not sure it was his fault. But
I thought they made a mistake with Raheem Marsh. I think in this, after what he's doing that right now at North Carolina, I think Bill Belichick would have fit a lot better with the Falcons than he did at North Carolina, but Blaine didn't want him.
Raheem Morris wouldn't have been my choice either, but he's the coach and I think the Falcons have some talent but that was a tough game for Michael Penix too. He'd been playing pretty well, but he had a rough game. But 30-0, that's a beat down right there.
Yeah. Well, I was proud of Mac Jones the other day, and I thought the Ravens game last night was a good game. The Ravens just couldn't get over themselves, but it was a loud environment. Did you notice that last night?
Oh yeah, man! It's listen. You had Baltimore has a great home field, and they had a lot of Detroit Lions fans there, man. The Lions fans bought up some tickets, brother, and they brought a lot of fans there, and they whipped the Ravens, man. They absolutely just whipped the Ravens.
They sure did, and it was a loud environment, but. Mac Jones, man, he's played well the last 2 years.
Played great. Played terrific. And I don't wish any ill will on Brock Purdy, but I still believe had the 49ers drafted Mac Jones at number 3 overall like they had planned to do before this, the pressure of not to draft him. And they didn't, but they would have had him at quarterback. But even in this situation, I think if Brock Purdy, who's a fine player, if Brock Purdy wasn't already signed to that long-term deal, I'm not so sure they wouldn't roll with Mac Jones. But the bottom line is they did sign Purdy to the big-time deal. He's going to be their quarterback as soon as he's healthy. But I do hope now Mac Jones will land a starting spot next year with another team, because what he did his rookie year in New England was impressive. Mm-hmm. Then he got, let's be honest, he got worked over by having Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator, call plays after McDaniels left to go to the Raiders. And had he not been set back like that, I think he'd still be starting in the NFL. So he's going to get another shot with another team next year, I think, Phillip.
Right. I hope so. Hey, good talking to you, Gary, and I look forward to the rest of the week. And as we get closer to game time, hearing that prediction from you, that's going to be a must-listen-to show that day.
Thank you, buddy. Good to hear from you. Great stuff, as always, Phil. Let's get to Cam before we close out the segment here. Hey, Cam.
What's up, homie? How you living, buddy?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, brother. It's nothing but great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty rough up here today with those Falcons. These Bulldogs are mad, so they're gonna wipe the floor with us. Who says the North Georgia? But hey, man, I didn't listen yesterday. I didn't have a chance to. What was the wife asked, and I don't really know much. What was the point of them coming out and discussing what happened at Auburn in Oklahoma with that decision?
I think in the social media era that we live in, I was surprised they came out with a statement so quick too, because there's so many missed calls. But here's what I think it was, Cam. I think the fact that it was a deception play and not just a missed call, the fact that the SEC felt like that, and that's against the rules, that Oklahoma had deceived
Auburn, they felt like they needed to put a statement out because that's something they don't want coaches and teams doing. And they decided that that was a deception play. And so they think they felt like had it just been, you know, had the guy just, you know, like the missed interference or some other missed calls in that game, if it just been missed calls, I don't know that they necessarily put a statement out about it. Because that statement was about one play. It was about that play where the guy, I guess, faked like he was going to go off the sideline to the sideline, and then he came back on and, you know, they didn't cover him. So I think that's why. I think because the SEC thought that Oklahoma, their offensive coaching staff, tried to deceive Auburn, and that's why they put out a statement on it that, hey, we're not going to put up with that, and that should have been called, and we want people to know going forward that if you, you know, you try to have a deception play, that we're going to catch it. So I think that's what it was.
Do you think in the future we might have a chance to interview referees like they do the coaches after a game, or probably not?
Well, I mean, it's been talked about for a long time, and the SEC has not ever been, you know, positive about that. Now, they have on certain games put out a statement from an official, but I don't think they want to open up officials to the press. I just get a sense that that's something that they're not going to do.
That's fair. Hey, man, the Rocket Man makes me want to run through a wall, dude. I am so crazy right now. He brings it. I love that, dude. I'm out here in North Georgia and screaming Roll Tide and looking at my neighbors and giving them the number one in the middle of my hand, you know? But I love that, man. I love you too, boo. But let me go fix some cords. You have a good day, Gary, and
Roll Tide. Thank you very much, Cam. All right. That's perfect timing to get to the break. It's 10:16 here on the Gary Harris Show. You know, it'll be lunchtime before you know it. And I have been doing decades pub and grub now for a few couple of weeks, and boy, I tell you, the food there, people have they've been listening to the commercial here on the air, and they've gone by to check it out. Oh my gosh, Cliff Clark and that kitchen staff, the food that they come up with, made from scratch, Chase, decades pub and grub over in Timberson Square. Check them out for lunch beginning at 11 o'clock and for dinner too, but great atmosphere. Two separate bars. They've got the music on one side. They got the sports on the other right there at Timberson Square. Great food, man. The food is awesome. Get by and see him at Decades beginning at 11 a.m. for lunch. All right, we're going to come back and get to some audio from some of those press conferences yesterday. We got it clipped up, and we're going to hear from Alabama's coaches yesterday ahead of this big game against Georgia. We'll do that next on the Gary Harris Show.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Drought conditions are spawning wildfires across West Alabama, but ABC 3340 meteorologist Emma Kate Cowan tells us some help is on the way.
Most of us should see rain. That's as the cold front pushes into the region, really helping fire up the atmosphere to support storms. Numerous storms late Wednesday into your Thursday.
23 relatively small wildfires are burning across the state, including one each in Tuscaloosa and Hale counties. The Northport City Council has approved a $51 million budget and almost $13 million water and sewer budget, with UA recording its largest student body ever. A new study finds most high school seniors still believe a college education is worth the high cost. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides a five-star buying experience and five-star service. More than 100
outdoor living spaces and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! Great song. Nobody up in
writer. A lot of different versions of All on the Watchtower, okay? A lot. But there's only one Jimi Hendrix version. And for me, and I'm not one of these, I mean, I like Jimi Hendrix, don't get me wrong. I mean, who doesn't if you're a rock and roll fan? I mean, the what he did on guitar, you know, is legendary. But it's not like I go around all the time, oh my God, Jimi Hendrix, you know. But that song, for me, that is the Jimi Hendrix song that does it for me. When I hear All on the Watchtower, I don't care if I'm in the car or in a supermarket or, you know, whatever. If I hear it come on, just like then when Chase was playing it, I really could have just listened to the entire song. But we had to get back to the show. But for you folks maybe that are out there, you know, we do a lot of music on this show. If you're younger, you're not familiar with Jimi Hendrix, well, listen, there's a lot of great songs that Jimi Hendrix had. But that song, Bob Dylan's All on the Watchtower, that version, incredible. All right, we are going to try to get to some Alabama clips here when we can, but right now we got a phone call. Robbie Glenn is with us here on the Storage Center Hotline. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. Man, happy game week. It's finally here, the big Georgia game, but, you know, it's another big game in the SEC is the way I'm looking at it, but it is Georgia at night, so it does have a lot to it, and I'm excited. But I first want to talk about your podcast last night. Really enjoyed that.
Good.
You know, I got in there late to listen, but, you know, you got you and Rodney know a lot about everything, you just the insights. But then when you have two guys that are on there with you that have been through the trenches on both sides of the ball, giving their insights of everything, I enjoyed listening to it. So I love that you're doing that podcast.
Well, I appreciate that, Robbie, very much. Glad you called in, man.
Yeah, that was good talking to them. And as far as the game, you know, it's obvious we got to match the intensity that we've been having because they're going to have it, and they also are going to match up with us on the athleticism and the size. So we don't have a favor there, but I do think our receivers will have the advantage on them. I think they're too fast, too deep, too many of them to cover. And if we can give Ty enough time, and that's going to come with the offensive line, but I think having Jam Miller back is going to help that. Not only just giving him a safety or a guy that runs the ball, but him in the huddle gives you to keep someone calm,
sure,
to keep it going, and not just Ty. And that's going to be big in that huddle. And I think that's getting him back is going to be huge. Picking up the blocks where he's got to. Not saying the other guys didn't, but he's going to know exactly what's going on and where. Because, you know, Georgia's going to throw a lot of time and that offensive line. So it's going to be exciting. I'm glad we got him back. And, you know, it's here. And I just think the receivers are going to do good. And Ty's going to pick them apart. Our defense just has to come up with stops.
Well, man, you got a pretty good feeling. I wish I was as confident as you are, Robbie. But
yeah.
But no, you got sound. Your thoughts are very sound. And I do think Alabama is capable of winning that game. I have no doubt in my mind that they are. I just right now I'm just having a hard time, just because of the, you know, Georgia Kirby being 1-6, his first chance to get Alabama in Athens, night game. Coming off the bye, I'm leaning toward Georgia, man.
But you know, Kirby gets also really excited about big games like this, so I'm hoping he tries to press a little much and call some plays that he normally doesn't call, and it doesn't work. So let's just hope for it. We got all the pieces in place, though, and that's a big step. And if the guys can just bring it, you know, on the road, they haven't done it, but hopefully getting these senior leaders back really keeps them focused. So I'm looking forward to it. Plus, you got the Ryder Cup, and you got some other big games. So what a great week. And it's going to be awesome. So hopefully we're talking something good Monday.
Yeah, and we'll get you on here next week and do a little segment with Striker Strong golf tournament coming up. It's a week from Friday, right?
Yeah, a week and a half away, man. It's almost here. I was working on it again this 3:45 this morning when Striker woke up.
I know, and you got a lot going on. I'll be at Innisfree Friday if you're in town and want to swing by. Just a heads up.
I am planning on trying to shoot down there and see you.
All right, buddy.
All right, Gary, roll time.
Thanks, Robbie. Good to hear from you. All right, it's 10:26. All right, actually, just turned 10:27. Hey, listen, we got a lot of these clips to get to, so I want to try to go ahead and get to one, and we'll try to do some after we have Lee Smith on. But let's get to – I'm going to do one that's fairly quick here.
Let's just go ahead and run DeBoer's opening segment because it's not very long. It's like 43 seconds. And he, you know, he just kind of said, you know, excitement is the key word. They're excited about this opportunity. Here's Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning, and I know you heard from the coordinators, and so just I think overall just excited about the week upcoming, the preparation, getting ready for a very good Georgia team, one that's undefeated, going to Athens, Georgia. Going to be a great atmosphere, great environment, something our guys are looking forward to. You can tell just with the way we've had practices here at the end of the last week, yesterday, just high energy and looking forward to the challenge.
Let's get to a couple more clips here if we can. Talked a lot about Jam Miller. You know, he does a lot. Obviously, he's going to be carrying the ball. He's going to be catching the ball. But he also is good in blitz protection, stepping up. Here's Coach DeBoer on Jam Miller, you know, helping out against a physical defense like Georgia.
You're playing a really physical defense on the road.
Yeah, no question that Jam's a complete back all around, not just what you see with him carrying the football, but in his pass protection, both the responsibility and the ability to get the job done physically as well. So he's very important that way. He's someone that we trust at the highest level. Just, you know, in fall camp and spring ball, goes back to last year, he's just been super consistent as a pass protector, not just as a guy who can carry the football.
Let's go to James. All right, let's get one more clip in, and this is on discipline, how you need it in this matchup with Georgia. And here's Coach DeBoer on the team's discipline for this weekend.
Are that close? It's a play here, play there that keeps the drive alive. A lot of times it comes down to penalties. But a lot of these games that you have in the SEC come down to one possession, you know, and going into the fourth quarter. And when you have games that are that close, it's a play here, play there that keeps the drive alive. A lot of times it comes down to penalties. Obviously, there's an execution piece that is really important throughout the game, but you don't know when that penalty is. Is it the one that extends the drive in the first quarter, the fourth quarter? You got to be able to be focused and be disciplined for four quarters and more if needed.
All right, some stuff there from Kalen DeBoer. We're going to try to get in some more clips from these Alabama coaches in our final segment, but right now we're going to get to the break. And before we do, I want to mention to you the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. I'll be back in tomorrow. I'm going to work out tomorrow after the show. I got too much to do today, but the Y is there for me 7 days a week. Love the staff, love the community of members. It's just a great place to work out, and it's fun. It's a fun environment. No pressure. Chase, you know what I mean. It's not one of these gyms where people are running around screaming and trying to intimidate people, and, you know, it's just not that way. I mean, it's a bunch of good folks getting together trying to get fit. I love the Y, 2300 13th Street, downtown Tuscaloosa. All right, we're going to come back with Lee Smith from Atlanta News First. Next, talking Bama, Georgia on the Gary Harris Show.
And that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And listen, we're going to talk Bama, Georgia from the Georgia perspective with Lee Smith, but let's be clear on this. Lee Smith is an Alabama grad. He is a big-time Crimson Tide fan, but he does happen to work for Atlanta News First and covers Georgia, among, of course, the Atlanta professional teams as well. Good morning, Lee. Welcome into the program.
What's going on, Gary?
You know, I was thinking earlier this morning, I was actually mentioning it to Chase, because time gets away from me. I've been in Tuscaloosa so long now. Lee used to work with me at the TV station. How many years ago was that?
2014.
Okay, yeah, so it's been over 10 years. Yeah, that's crazy. And then when I thought about getting you on the show, and I didn't realize this. I mean, I still was thinking you were with CBS 46, and then I kind of started looking online. Before we get to Alabama, Georgia, you guys have gone from being a CBS affiliate to an independent station now with increased news coverage as Atlanta News First. You know, we're starting to see more of that, more local stations just turning to more news programming because of that's something that's truly local. But how did that come about?
Well, basically it was, you know, obviously every year, every TV station has to renew their affiliation with the major networks, you know. But we, our CEO of Great TV, you know, he is, we are actually in Atlanta, or I guess technically the offices are in Brookhaven suburb. So, but our CEO lives here, and he was just like, you know what, I think we can do more if we have more control of our own product. So ditched CBS, started Atlanta News First, and now we do, like, I'm not exactly sure because I'm not awake 24 hours, obviously, but I think we do like 18, 19 hours of broadcast a day. So if it's anything local in Atlanta or really all of Georgia at this point, it's on our air.
So. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, we're going to see more of that. I mean, we're going to see more television stations with just a hyper local content. And but anyway, good for you, man. You've had a great opportunity since being in Atlanta and covering Atlanta professional teams. But I know the Georgia Bulldogs, just like here in Tuscaloosa with the Alabama Crimson Tide, that's a big coverage point for your station. And this game coming up Saturday night is a huge one. Since you're an Alabama grad working for an Atlanta TV station, you got a unique perspective. How hungry are the Dog fans for this one? And I know that I call it whistling past the graveyard. I mean, the ones I've talked to are just uber confident, but I wonder if that's a little bit of a smokescreen. I think they're scared to death because of Kirby being 1-6 against Alabama. What's the vibe you're getting from the Georgia people over there?
So it's I think it is more of what you said. I think obviously I think most of the fan base is confident, you know, and coming off that win against Tennessee in that fashion that they did it. I mean, I get that, but you know, I feel like in their back of their head it's that, oh no, you know, 1-9 against, you know, the last 10 games against Alabama. I mean, you know, numbers are real for a reason. So yeah, I think there are. I'd probably say, honest to God, I'd say 50-50, you know, confidence versus, you know, cautious.
Lee, where'd you go?
Oh, hey, I'm right here. Sorry, did you hear me? Oh,
yeah, you dropped out for a second. You're still there. Pick it back up.
No, you're good. So, yeah, I would say about it's honestly half at this point because it's so early in the season, 50% confident, 50% cautious. But – I don't know, man. For me, that was that win in Tennessee was pretty incredible. So I think it's for sure going to be a good game on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, here's something that's interesting. I want to get you to react to it. As somebody who covers Alabama that wants to see Alabama win that game Saturday night in Athens, I think that it was best case scenario in Knoxville. You got to play the game either way. I get that. But I was so glad that Georgia won that game because if Tennessee wins, then one thing you got to deal with Tennessee in a couple weeks anyway. But if Georgia loses that game, I think their intensity and focus is even going to be heightened to beat Alabama. Plus, if Alabama does lose the game, you'd much rather lose to an undefeated number 5 Georgia team than a once beaten outside the top 10 Georgia team. Because if Alabama wins, you get more credit for beating an undefeated Georgia team. And if you lose, you don't get knocked as far. So I think it was best case scenario for Georgia to be undefeated and let Alabama go in there, and they've done it before, and see what they can do. I mean, I'm leaning toward Georgia, but it certainly, you know, wouldn't surprise me if Alabama won that football game. What about you?
I mean, just think about this. Kirby Smart has lost 2 games back-to-back. Last time he's done it was 2018 when he lost to Alabama in the SEC Championship, and then they played the ball game against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
For something that almost spans nearly a decade, you know, I can't look at that and not think, oh, well, I'm not going to say with certainty that Alabama would have lost that game had Georgia lost to Tennessee, because they would have came out with vengeance. But I feel like Kirby wouldn't have lost twice in a row like that. So I think that was best case scenario for Alabama to come out with that. Or it was best case scenario for Alabama for Georgia to come out with a win. But I'll tell you this, I was extremely impressed with their resolve. Honestly, it felt like those games, that game in Knoxville felt like, you know, that to me, it felt like 2009, you know, being in the student section against, like, you know, when they had the Rocky Block against Tennessee. Like, the entire day in Knoxville last week felt like basically that one moment. I mean, it was incredibly loud. And they don't usually, you know, past couple of years, they don't really lose at Tennessee. So, yeah, I think it will be a good matchup. I think Alabama certainly has some firepower, and Georgia's got a lot of questions on the defensive secondary end. So, who knows?
Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sending a crew. I had debated on whether to come. Being a night game, it wouldn't have been that difficult for me. But I got, you know how it is at our station, you know, some of these young folks, this is their, you know, they've never been to a game like this. And so I had them lining up. So I'm going to send a crew over there Saturday. I'm going to stay back here. But what do you think the atmosphere is going to be like? I've been to Athens. It's a great environment, but it's going to be even more ramped up than normal. I don't think they're going to – there's rumors about a blackout. I just can't see Kirby doing that, Lee. Can you enlighten us there?
I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. But you know what? Ultimately, it's not really in his hands. If fans want to do it and they pay the money to get to the game, they're going to do it. I think that would be a bad move because we saw what happened in 2015. Everybody remembers the Derrick Henry game in the rain. So I would advise them to not do that. But, I mean, I just don't think you give this Alabama team any, you know, added motivation. Because, like, to me, it seems like they just hit their stride. They came out stumbling against Florida State out the gate, you know, Gus Malzahn and all that, and, you know, not looking prepared. And now I think DeBoer's got them going in the right direction. So I don't know why you as a Georgia fan would want to poke the bear.
For Kirby – and he's a lot like Saban. I mean, to me, he's the closest of all of the Saban assistants to being Nick Saban. And for some reason, I'm getting a little echo, so just bear with us here. But so it's never personal to him. You know, Saban said it was never personal. You know, it's always just business. You know, it was a football game. That's kind of the approach that Kirby's taken. But at the same time, down deep, I mean, he's got to want this one, knowing he's 1-6. Now, the one win was for a national championship. I get it. But Alabama's probably cost him two or three other national championships. So do you think that he won't say it publicly, but do you think this game is personal to Kirby Smart?
I think at this point, yes. Yes. I think he obviously would rather probably be going against Nick winning. But, you know, he'll take whatever he gets at this point. Because anything that any victory over Alabama at this point is all it's going to be a positive. I mean, I just 1-9. I can't fathom that Georgia's 1-9 in their last 10 against Alabama.
Doesn't make sense.
Because they've been on a generational run.
Yeah.
I mean, not very very few teams get to do this. I mean, Alabama's done it. Clemson did it for a couple, you know, about 4 year span, and then now there's Georgia. And but for whatever reason, the one monkey they can't get off their back is Alabama. So yeah, I think it would be a little more personal for him.
So what's your gut telling you Saturday night?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen enough from Alabama. I know Georgia's going to run the ball. I know that for sure. Georgia's going to try and run the ball. If Alabama's defense can step up, if that line and linebackers, the front seven, can hold up, honestly, I think they can win because Ty's, when he's on, he's on. And I don't know if it gets to a shootout at home, which they haven't really had to do much lately. I don't know if they can keep up. Now, they did against Tennessee, but I don't know what was in the air. So I'm going to say Alabama edges them. 3-point win.
You'd like that.
I mean, it's not. I do. I just don't know. I don't know.
Are you going to be covering the game?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right,
yep.
Man.
I'll be down there on the field.
Well, listen, great insight. And I guess there at work, you got a lot, you know, even though people from Atlanta, or people that come to Atlanta TV stations from all over the country, but I'm sure there's a pretty good Georgia contingent there. So, it's going to be a lot easier on you if Alabama wins the game, right?
Oh, yeah. And everybody already knows I'm a fan. Now, I suppress it on game days. I don't do anything crazy, but, you know, they know at heart. They know where my money and allegiance are. Definitely down there on the river in Tuscaloosa.
Well, let me ask you this, and folks that don't know who we're talking about, so I'll fill them in. Great sports photographer, producer in Birmingham for many years, Chris McCulley, at different stations, yeah, including most recently at ABC 3340. He joined you guys, right?
Yeah. Chris is over here. You know, it's funny. This is a very small business. I have known Chris for a while. I've seen him on SEC sidelines a ton. And we had a job opening, and I'm like, hey, would you want to try and come to Atlanta? You know, I know.
So you're the one that stole him away. You're the one that stole him away from ABC 3340.
Yeah.
I bet Jeff Spiegel's never going to talk to you again.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's business sometimes, unfortunately.
All right, Lee. Well, great stuff, man. And we're ready for Saturday night. Like I said, I'll have Jalen and Hunter over there. I'll tell them to look for you so you can show them the lay of the land.
Hey, man, just get there early, whatever you do.
All right. I'm going to come to leave here at 10 o'clock Central, so that ought to be pretty good. All right, thanks, Lee.
All right, thank you.
All right, Lee Smith, CBS, well, I should say not CBS 46 anymore, Atlanta News First. All right, we're going to take a time out. We're going to come back with some more clips from Alabama coaches before we wrap up the show here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're doing a Southern Ohio score prediction day for Alabama, Georgia, and a large prize package because it's a big game. We'll talk to Chris Lowe. We'll also talk to Mike Dettillier, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on a score prediction day on a Tuesday in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in time.
From The Game, the Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Our thanks to Lee Smith from Atlanta News First for jumping on with us. Let's get back to some audio from, we heard from Kalen DeBoer there in the last couple of segments ago. Let's get to some stuff from Kane Womack, the defensive coordinator, because you know what? There's going to be pressure on that Alabama defense up front. And here he is talking about slowing down Georgia's running game because they're going to run the football. And if you're going to win defensively against Georgia, you can't let them eat up yards on the ground. Here's Kane Womack on how he feels about his defense stopping Georgia's running game.
Defense is executing run fits right now.
Yeah, I think you know, we are taking strides. Every team is, you know,
working to get better, you know, and those are the things that, I've told our guys. Everybody has issues right now, but everybody's got to work to get themselves better, and the good teams are the ones that just better themselves week by week. I think our run fits are improving as we go. I don't think we're where we, you know, want to be, and certainly I think there's some things that we've put on tape that we're going to have to answer for as we go down the season, things that I would imagine Georgia and other teams in the SEC are going to try to expose, and so we want to make sure that we have a plan for those things. But I think our guys have been very locked in. The work that we've done thus far, we've had a good off season or bye week, off week of practice, and I think for, you know, you think about this team, this is a tough, gritty, their backs run hard, they're physical, and so it's ultimately going to be about, you know, bringing a grown man to the ground, right, and the physicality that it takes to do that over and over, because I think Coach Bobo does a really good job of just staying committed to the run game as it goes on, and those are like body blows in a boxing match, right? You got to be able to match pound for pound for as many times as they want to run the ball.
All right, they do want to run the ball, and I like the way that Kane Womack described the body blows. But you also have to defend their quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, who proved against Tennessee that he can make the throws. Here's Coach Womack on defending the Georgia quarterback.
Let's go to the opposite side, dead coming front right.
Yeah, follow up on that question about defending the running game. Gunnar Stockton, I think, leads them in rushing touchdowns so far this season. What do you see from him on the ground, what he can do, and how you guys need to defend him?
I think they do a really good job with Gunnar in the run game. It's just enough to keep you honest. You know, you see the run game at the right time. Certainly third downs and red zone, and those are things that will always be the case for offenses. But he's a physical kid. He's tough. He's gritty. He's willing to get the yards in the read game. He makes the right decisions the vast majority of the time. And so, you know, he has certainly brought an element to their run game that, you know, maybe they didn't have as much with Carson a year ago. And I think that's something that, you know, that certainly we're going to have to account for.
All right, that was more about Gunnar Stockton in the run game. But as I said, he proved against Tennessee he can make the throws, and you got to get some pressure on him. Alabama got 4 sacks against Wisconsin. That was their first 4 sacks of the season. They had no sacks through the first 2 games. So the pass rush had been pretty good, but getting the quarterback on the ground is key. Here is Womack on the pass rush and continuing to have it be an impact in the game.
Stay on the front row, right in the middle, Tony.
What have you seen from the progression of your pass rush? How do you think that that's coming along?
I think we're taking steps in the right direction. I think we'll know a lot more as we move into SEC play, and we'll know a lot more about our ability to pass rush, you know, after Saturday. So going up against a good team and a good offensive line, big, physical, and certainly they've got great athletes. And so I think pass rush is, you know, you look at it through different facets, you know, just as a 4-man rush, how you're blitzing, how you're simulating pressure. But certainly I think just when you look at our defensive line and outside linebackers that are rushing off the edge, I think we're taking steps in the right direction. But I'm excited to see the, you know, the progression on Saturday.
All right, let's get to one more clip from Womack, and that's about getting Tim Keenan III back in that defensive line, spot in interior defensive line, how big that'll be for Alabama. Here's Womack on Tim Keenan.
This defense from an on-field perspective and his leadership.
Yeah, Tim will be back for the game. He's done a great job, has been practicing, you know, the last couple of days here and has looked pretty good. And so, you know, credit to him and Jeff Allen and our staff for getting him, you know, ready to go. So excited, certainly, to have him back. You know, just the physicality that he brings, the experience, the block recognition, the ability to get off of blocks, and certainly what he does for us, not only in the run game, but I thought he has taken some strides in pass rush as well from an interior pass rusher. And so excited to have him back this week.
All right, let's get to a Kalen DeBoer sound clip before we close out the show. And that's about handling tough road environments. Chase, that clip where, you know, because Alabama has had issues on the road in the SEC. They were 1-3 last year on the road. The win at LSU, but losses at Vandy, at Tennessee, and at Oklahoma. Here's Coach DeBoer on whether there's been any adjustments from the coaching staff on handling tough road environments.
Games on the road, especially heading into this week, maybe compared to week one.
I mean, I think you do the same things. You might tweak something here and there, but I think it still comes down to, you know, your preparation and execution. You know, every game's a little different depending on how far you travel and all that, where you're staying. And that's a lot of the times how the coordination of the schedule, you know, might be impacted. And so for us, you know, the flight and then the drive and then the drive the next morning, that's going to be different than it is in some other cities that we go to. So again, it just comes down to keeping the main thing the main thing. You are certainly, in our case, always really trying to find the little thing here and there that might, you know, help us with the juice, the energy, you know, whatever it might be. But we also want to make something out of nothing. And, you know, we want to make sure we're focused on the right things. And that's just, you know, playing as hard as we can, you know, giving everything we have to our preparation and going out there and playing physical, sound, disciplined football.
All right, one more clip, Chase. We're going to get to, because we heard from Coach Womack on Tim Keenan III coming back, and we heard from Coach DeBoer earlier on the return of Jim Miller. Here is Coach DeBoer on the return of Tim Keenan in the lineup on defense.
Yeah, Coach Womack said that Tim's going to be able to go, Tim Keenan's going to be able to go this week. Just what kind of boost does that give your defense up front?
Yeah, I think in a couple of ways. I mean, he's voted team captain for a reason, and so the energy he's brought, you know, the last even 2 to 3 weeks, just, you know, his juice, you know, and he's that way naturally. He loves this place. I think, you know, his perspective of being on the sideline has brought another level of energy to him that our defense and our whole team can really responded to. And then on top of it, you know, he's a big anchor, big body in there that can kind of hold down the line of scrimmage, get a push in the pocket on pass plays. And so it's good to have him back. And, you know, he's had a couple good days here and continue to build here through the week of practice is what we're expecting.
All right, and that is going to wrap it up for the show. Good show today. Glad you could be with us. Catch me on TV tonight with the local sports and with Rodney Orr for Tider Insider TV at 6:30 on WVUA 23. We've got Miller's Edge coming up next. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.